It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And hello, welcome into the Virtual Bible Study tonight. We're glad that you've joined us for this period of Bible study tonight. We hope you'll stay tuned. My name is Jacob Gwynn. I'm joined by my father, Greg Gwynn. Hello, Dad.
Hello, Jacob. Good to be with you tonight. Looking forward to our virtual Bible study. Hope we get a lot of listeners and a lot of participation.
Looking forward to the discussion tonight, and we're glad that you've joined us. Dad, we've got an interesting discussion tonight. I want to talk about our relationship to our possessions. You know, we live in a very prosperous world. We live in a material world, and I believe these possessions are perhaps one of the greatest challenges to us in our spirituality. If we're not careful, we can very easily lose our soul because of the great possessions that we have, the great wealth that we enjoy. And so it's important for us to talk about that tonight.
I think it'll be a worthy study. I don't think that a lot of us view ourselves as really wealthy people. I know I certainly don't. But you've got some statistics, Jacob, that indicate that in comparison to most of the people in the world and most of the people who've lived in the history of time, we are among the very wealthiest people.
That's right. It doesn't take very much in the United States standards in order to be very wealthy. And so we will look at that tonight. The number to call to be a part of the program tonight is 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567, or you can email us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. This is an interactive program, Dad, and we look forward to hearing from our listeners tonight.
That's right. We want your emails. We want your phone calls. We can take either of those methods for you to be a part of the program tonight. At our website where you're listening, you can find a link there to questions@collegeview.com. Send us an email or call us. We're at 931-381-4567, and we'd be glad to hear from you. In fact, we're wanting to hear from you. And is that somebody calling, Jacob? You're just playing with the phone.
Right. Well, I hope it is working tonight.
It is working.
That's right.
So we hope somebody will call. You know, before we get into our discussion, I want to mention something here at the top of the program that we might run out of time to talk about it at the end. But, Jacob, we got a special series of lessons coming up here at the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. And for all those who are listening who are in our immediate area, we want to invite you to come to a gospel meeting that's going to be here November 13th through the 18th at College View, at the College View congregation. We've got different speakers each day of that week, and we're looking forward to some really good messages from the Word of God. And we hope that any of you who are listening and they're near enough to come and visit us, we hope that you will do so.
Well, you know, we want our listeners to know that we're not going to pressure anybody that comes. You can just come and sit and observe and see what goes on, and no pressure, no calling out. You won't have to feel uncomfortable. We just want you to come and see what the College View Church is all about. So if you can come and be a part of that, it'll be November 13th through 18th, Dad, is that correct?
That's right, November 13th through 18th.
And that'll be at 7 o'clock each evening, Monday through Friday, and we look forward to hearing about Sunday as well. Normal services on Sunday.
Yeah, the 13th is a Sunday.
Through Friday. Well, we're looking forward to the discussion tonight, and again, we want to hear from you, 931-381-4567, or email us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. Well, if someone asks you, Dad, if you're rich, you'd already said you don't normally think of yourself as rich, and most of us do not, but the statistics say that we are all very rich. You know, we compare our income with the world's income and put our standards next to theirs. We learn that we are very wealthy. If we were to compare normal incomes across the world, if you made $430 a year, by the world standards, you would be considered poor or low income. But notice what it takes to be middle income, the middle class in the world standards. You make $1,850 a year, you're middle class. We're much higher than middle class in America, Dad. You don't have to work very many hours throughout the year to make $1,850 an hour, even at minimum wage.
That's right. And I noticed on the statistics there, these statistics come from the World Development Indicators Database from the World Bank, that a high-income person in the world, a person who's considered high income, $26,490, compare that with the average American income, according to the 2001 Census Bureau, the average American income is 42,228. So the average American makes almost twice what is considered high income. That's in right. The rest of the world.
You are rich if you make $26,490 a year. Again, we're not talking much more than McDonald's wages there, a little bit more than you'd make if you worked at McDonald's, but not a lot more. So we have most of Americans that are rich compared to the world standards.
That's right. The gross national income statistics show us to be the richest country in the world by far. We're the tops. Over twice as much in gross national income than any other country in the world.
That's right. And so we are a wealthy country tonight. And so if you're listening to us tonight, we want you to consider yourself as rich. You are rich if you're listening to us tonight.
I think that's the key. Everybody who's listening, and we do have sometimes we get some international listeners. I don't know if there's any international listeners tonight, but if you're a listener listening in America, my guess is because you've got a computer and you're sitting there with the time to do it tonight, to listen to the program, that means that you are among the richest people in the world. And also we could add not just the currently richest people in the world, but you are among the richest people who ever lived in the whole history of the human existence on planet Earth. You know, we read in the Bible about some really wealthy people like King Solomon, for instance, who just had exorbitant wealth in his day. But, you know, we enjoy things that King Solomon could only dream about. He didn't have hot and cold running water and flush toilets, and he didn't have automobiles, and he didn't have electric lights, and he didn't have central heat and air conditioning. And you think about the things that we just absolutely take for granted that even a man as wealthy as Solomon couldn't even have imagined. We are truly wealthy.
That's right, and we want you to consider that tonight. You know, the problem is, though, Dad, there are numerous warnings in the Bible about riches and being rich, yet we often overlook those, and when we see something in the Bible that's directed to the rich, we just overlook that and think that's somebody else. That's that guy who lives in that big house on the hill that we pass every day on our way to work. That's not us, but the Bible is talking to us when it's talking to rich people because we've shown that we are all rich in America.
Exactly right. So our very first point when we're talking about the problems of prosperity is we're talking to you. We're talking to ourselves, of course. Jacob, you and I are in that group too. But to the people who are listening to our program tonight, we want you to understand this addresses a problem that you deal with and that you've got to be aware of. Before we get into some of the discussion a little further, let me point out, as we usually do at the start of the program, we've got an outline on the webpage tonight. And if you will if you'll minimize your media player, when you clicked on to listen to the program, your media player window probably popped up, and you leave that running, of course, so you can continue to listen, but hit the minimize button and go back to the previous page, and you'll see a link there to our outline for tonight. Now, the outline is just a bare-bones outline. What we hope is that maybe you'll use that and fill in, maybe print off a copy of it and fill in some Bible verses. We're going to supply the Bible verses that will go with that outline tonight.
As we talk about our prosperity and the problems associated with it, the Bible is very stern in its warning towards rich people. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, beginning of verse 23. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. This passage tells us it's difficult, very difficult, for those who are rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And notice again, Dad, we're talking about you and I. Jesus says it is very difficult. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for you and me to enter into the kingdom of God. We've got an enormous challenge on our hands based upon the fact that we are prosperous people.
Exactly right. We wanted to point out that those are not empty words from Jesus. We're wealthy, and therefore that causes us to be subject to the problem that Jesus discussed there. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for you and me to enter into the kingdom of God. That'd be a fair way to read that. He's talking to the rich. That's you and me. And so it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, when you first read that, Jacob, a camel can't go through a needle's eye. Does that mean it's impossible for us to go to heaven?
We need to go on in the context. In Matthew chapter 19, beginning verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying unto him, Who can be saved? Asking the same question you just asked. But verse 26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So it is possible for us to enter into heaven in spite of our riches, but it is going to be a great challenge to us. And we need to be prepared for the challenges that we'll face as prosperous people. What do you think are some of the challenges we face as rich people in America today? Challenges to our spirituality. We look forward to hearing from you with your thoughts. We want to hear from you tonight, 931-381-4567, or email us those comments or questions to questions@collegeview.com. I want to hear your thoughts tonight on the program, on the virtual Bible study.
You know, Jacob, one of the things that we might comment about there in that text, and we've put that text up on our chart for tonight, Matthew 19, verses 23 through 26, when Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and his disciples said, who can be saved? Jesus said, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. I might just comment on that before we pass from it. I think Jesus was intending to describe something that is impossible. A camel to go through a needle's eye. A lot of times there's questions about this needle's eye. What was it? I've heard all kinds of explanations from it. It was a low gate in the wall of the city of Jerusalem, and a camel had to, he had to take the load off of a camel, and he had to duck down low to get in it. I don't think that probably is the right explanation. I think Jesus was intending to describe something that was literally impossible with men, but possible with God. And so he's trying to paint a very extreme picture. This is a tough thing. You're going to have to work at it, and with God's help, you can do it. But a rich man has great challenges to make it to heaven.
You know, I think, though, a lot of times in our spiritual lives, we're oblivious to the challenge we face as prosperous people. We just go on about our lives every day, and we get wrapped up in the race to acquire more and more physical things, and we allow these physical blessings that we enjoy to hamper our spirituality. We want to be careful about that tonight, and we want to look at what the Bible says about prosperous people and rich people and the warnings that God has given to us in His Word. We want to hear from you tonight, 931-381-4567, or email us your question or comment at questions@collegeview.com. Dad, quickly, before we go into our first break, one of the most apparent and obvious challenges to us spiritually as prosperous people is that our prosperity causes us to have an increased pride. That was a warning to the children of Israel when they were going into the Promised Land, that they would get puffed up in their pride and think that they were the reason for the blessings that they enjoyed.
I think you're exactly right, Jacob. We could look at Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 7. Deuteronomy 8, 7 says, "The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command you this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers as it is this day." Now, that's a long reading, probably longer than we usually do, Jacob. But Moses, as he was speaking on behalf of God, warned them. They're going to a great place where they're going to enjoy incredible prosperity. And he said, you be careful that when you get there, you don't forget the Lord and imagine that you accomplished this all on your own, and that you forget God, forget to obey his commandments. So that Moses foresaw, and the Lord speaking through Moses foresaw, that this would be a real temptation to the children of Israel.
And it ended up occurring that they were led astray because of their great wealth.
Yeah, there's several places in the scriptures that indicate that the children of Israel forgot God and forgot the blessings that he had given to them. One place like that is Amos 6, beginning verse 3. Put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie in wait in the beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph, Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord God has sworn by himself, and saith the Lord of God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore I will deliver up the city with all that is therein. And so that's just one of the places where the prophets of God were pronouncing a judgment was going to come upon the children of Israel because what Moses, through God, had predicted actually came true.
Well, you know, the folly of the Israelites is obvious. They were nothing without the Lord. They were in captivity. They were in bondage. And God had led them out of that, out of Egypt, and brought them into the promised land. And they basically had just been given the great wealth that they enjoyed. And yet they turned against God. But Americans have done the same thing. America is just like the promised land of Israel, is it not? You know, they were warned there that they were going to a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it. Isn't that America? We have bread without scarceness. We lack nothing. And then the danger is for us that we could be overtaken in our pride. We could forget God, forget that God is the reason for the blessings that we enjoy. We're going to go to our first break. We want to hear from you tonight on the program. What do you think are some of the challenges that we face as rich Americans? What are some challenges that we face that could cause us to be in a wrong relationship with God? We're looking forward to hearing from you tonight. 931-381-4567. Or email us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Don't touch that mouse. The virtual Bible study will be back right after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. But regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hi, my name is Troy Smith. I'm 12 years old, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the virtual Bible study every week. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the program tonight. We're glad you're here as we talk about our prosperity and the problems that we face as a result of being prosperous people. We want to hear from you tonight on the program, 931-381-4567. Or email us questions@collegeview.com. We talked about before the break the fact that our possessions and our riches cause us to be proud, and that is something we need to be careful of. I'm afraid, though, that often we are puffed up as a result of our prosperity, and we begin to think that we are the reason why we enjoy the things that we enjoy instead of being thankful to God. You know, when we see somebody who is having trouble financially, Dad, we often think that they must be lazy, that they're not working as hard as I am. You know, if they would get up every morning like I get up out of bed early before the sun rises, and if they would get out there and bust it and get a good job, they wouldn't have the financial problems that they have. They'd be like me, and they'd be all right. You know, that's just pride when we think that we're the reason why we enjoy the blessings that we enjoy. You know, we think this person must be lazy. They won't get a job like me. We're starting to think that I'm the reason why I have the blessings that I have, and we're not thankful to God.
I think you're exactly right. We've got to be careful about this matter of pride. And that leads us to the point that we need to have a trust in God. But that's one of the problems with prosperity, is it causes us to have a decreased trust in God. And we need to be careful to understand that everything that we have is a gift from Him. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So we've got to be careful about pride and always remember our dependence upon God. Let me go to a couple emails real quick, Jacob. We're not going to quack. We're going to go quick to some emails. I've got one from Jeff listening down in North Alabama. Jeff, you're glad you're with us tonight listening on the virtual Bible study. He says one of the best passages on this topic, and he says there are many, and we agree, would have to be 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 10, and then in the same chapter, verses 17 and 19. Let's read those, because I think Jeff has brought up a text that's really important in this discussion. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning verse 6, Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Jeff mentions, he says, what I find most fascinating is the Holy Spirit's powerful use of the language. Notice he talks about those who desire to be rich. I was reading the King James. It says those who will be rich, and I think other versions say something like those who desire to be rich. And so it's not just those who are extremely abundantly wealthy, but those who have this craving or desire for such wealth that are put into the great temptation that the text mentions. And then later in the same chapter, verse 17, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so, again, Paul there in the first century was writing about this challenge that we're discussing in our study tonight. The challenge of wealth, and you've got to be careful not to trust in uncertain riches.
That's right. I appreciate those comments, Jeff. A very excellent passage that he brings up here, the fact that as we become rich, the temptation is for us to trust in those riches. And here's an example of how we do that. You know, Dad, if we face an illness or we maybe get laid off at work, what's the first thing we do? Do we look to God or do we look to our bank account balance and wonder what that is? Don't we trust in our riches more than we trust in God sometimes? I think that's the danger that we have to be aware of, that it's very easy for us to fall in the trap of trusting our riches instead of trusting in God, and we need to be careful about that.
I think you're exactly right. And in all things, we've got to remember that everything that we are and everything that we have is from God, and that nothing is by our own power or might, but because he's blessed us, that we have the stewardship of the things that we have to use. Let me get another email that's just come in from Guillermo, listening in Alameda, California. Guillermo, glad to hear that you're with us out there in California. Glad you've joined us for the virtual Bible study tonight. He says, hello, brethren. One thing that we ought to remember is that it's not a sin to own things or have money, but to love it in such a way that it becomes our goal. And he mentions 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, which we just read, the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. Now, I think he's exactly right. It's the love of money. It's not money itself. We know that the Bible describes some who were wealthy individuals, but they used their wealth to the glory of God. So I think Guillermo was right. In other words, if we've got wealth, It's not a sin to have wealth or to be wealthy, but our attitude toward it and how we use it and what it does to us, that's the challenge.
That's right. You know, it's not a sin to have money, because later on in 1 Timothy chapter 6, a few verses after verse 10, we see there that the instruction is given to the rich people, not that they get rid of their money, but that they be careful with their attitude towards it and they do not begin to trust in that money. And so we've got to be careful of those warnings as well.
Guillermo goes on to mention in his email that in Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13, Paul said, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him which strengthens me. So a very good point from our listener Guillermo in Alameda, California. He makes the point that Paul mentioned living in prosperity, and he said it's a doable thing, but it's a challenge, and we got to work at it.
Appreciate you listening out there in California, Guillermo, and we're glad that you've commented tonight. 931-381-4567, or send us your questions to questions@collegeview.com. Looking forward to hearing from you tonight on the program. We're talking about the problems with prosperity. What are some challenges you think we face as rich Christians, and challenges to our spirituality? 931-381-4567, or send us your questions at questions@collegeview.com.
Got an email from Preston, one of our regular listeners down in South Georgia. Preston, we're glad you're listening tonight. He says in Matthew 8, verse 20, Jesus said to them, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And then Preston adds, Christ went from God to the lowest human. The animals had more than the Son of God, the Creator and the Savior. True riches aren't silver and gold. If you look at Luke 15 and 16, Jesus is talking to Pharisees, and Jesus talks about riches. And the end of chapter 16, he tells about the rich man and Lazarus. I told them what really happened to both the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man must have been rich in money and poor in godliness, and Lazarus must have been poor in money and rich in righteousness, and we can see therein. I think that story that Preston references there in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man and Lazarus is an indication. Here's a fella who failed the challenge of prosperity. And there are others. You know, the parable of the rich farmer that Jesus told about the man who was going to pull down his barns and build greater. Here's a fellow who enjoyed physical prosperity, and it cost him his soul because he didn't deal with the challenge of that and maintaining godliness in the presence of prosperity.
Those two stories right there, the parable of the rich farmer and the story of the rich man and Lazarus, those two stories in and of themselves ought to be enough warning for us to say, hey, we've got to be careful about the prosperity that we enjoy and make sure that it does not allow us to be drawn away from God. We've got to make sure that we're not puffed up in our pride, Dad, as a result of our riches, and that we don't stop to trust in God. We must make sure that we always trust in God. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 beginning, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. We need to be like the person there in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8, that is trusting in the Lord, not trusting in our uncertain riches, but trusting in the Lord who blesses us abundantly.
And there's the promise, Jacob. Jesus made the promise that if we'll put God first and trust in Him, keep our perspective and our priorities in the right place, that we'll have what we need. And He's not promising that we'll always have abundance, but in Matthew chapter 6, beginning verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so the promise is that God knows our needs, and that our needs will be met, and if we'll keep our priorities right, we can trust that God will bless us. And so the first couple of points we want to emphasize in our study tonight is, well, several things, just sort of summarizing what we've talked about, Jacob. We've said that certainly the topic is one that we all need because we all are wealthy. Secondly, as we talk about some of the problems of prosperity, the first is that it causes us to be proud and forget God, causes us to not trust in Him and not have our confidence in Him. And so those are certainly some of the real challenges of prosperity.
Let's go ahead and take a break. And when we get back, we want to talk about some of the challenges that our prosperity brings to us, and that it brings us an increased love of this world and increased distractions that distract us from our spiritual focus and the focus on God. We want to hear from you tonight. What are some of those distractions you see and some of those challenges you see as a result of our prosperity? 931-381-4567, or email us your questions to questions@collegeview.com. I want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ here in Columbia, Tennessee. If you're in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we look forward to meeting with you. Hope that you'll come to any of our services. You can find out more information about the church by visiting our website, collegeview.com, where you are tonight. Look around while you're listening to the program tonight, and you can find out more about the church. Or if you have any questions about what the College View Church of Christ is all about, email us at questions@collegeview.com or call us anytime at 931-381-4567, and we can help answer any questions you may have about the church here at College View. We look forward to hearing from you. Well, when we get back, we'll look at some more of the challenges facing us spiritually as a result of our prosperity. We hope you'll stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jacob Gwynn with Something for You to Think About. MSNBC came out with a poll recently that detailed some alarming statistics about the sexual practices of Americans. Of 56,000 Americans polled in an online survey, 65% of those polled had had more than 5 sexual partners. Isn't that amazing? More than 6 in 10 Americans has had more than 5 sexual partners. What's more amazing is that 19%, or almost 1 in 5 Americans, has had more than 25 sexual partners. That's right. 19% of Americans have had more than 25 sexual partners. Isn't that amazing? This poll is a sad commentary on the moral state of our society. This report on sexual promiscuity highlights the ungodliness of the society we live in. Many in our society, it appears, are acting like animals and are having relations with whomever they please. It appears that many in our society are adequately described by Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, where we read, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." And since we live in such a wicked society, we must be careful that the standards of our society, or lack thereof, don't influence us and our actions. We are taught in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In a wicked society like ours, we can easily be influenced for bad if we are not diligent to remain faithful to God. The ungodliness of our society is highlighted by the fact that almost 1 in 5 Americans has had more than 25 sexual partners. While alarming and discouraging, this fact should just be further reason for us to be on guard against being influenced by the world and their evil deeds. If we want to be pleasing to God, we will carefully study our Bible and live by the commands that God instructs instead of by the norms that the world establishes. That's what the Bible says. Think about it.
Hi, I'm Kent Baumgartner.
And I'm Mindy.
We're from Jackson, Tennessee, and we love to listen to the Virtual Bible Study.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the Virtual Bible Study every week. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the program tonight. We're real glad that you're here, and we hope you'll stay tuned. We're talking about our prosperity and the challenges to our spirituality that result. We're looking forward to hearing from you. 931-381-4567, or email us your questions to questions@collegeu.com. Dad, the fact that we are rich and prosperous gives us more opportunity to be distracted from spiritual things and to increase our love of this world. We have more things to enjoy, you know, because of our riches and our prosperity. This world isn't that bad of a place sometimes to us. We've got a lot of toys. We've got a lot of things to keep us happy. And these things can cause us to have an increased love of this world.
I think that's exactly right. You know, it's not so every place in the world. There are places in the world where people are suffering horribly. But where we live, at least I'm speaking for where we live right here in Columbia, Tennessee, Jake, we live in a wonderful place, and we enjoy all kinds of bounty, and we have a very comfortable life. And so because we do that, then we become attached to this world. We have a lot of things going. You know, we've got a lot of hobbies. We've got closets full of sporting goods and hobby supplies and electronic gadgets and more clothes than we can hardly store in our closets. We plan great vacations and getaways, and you know, we think about, you know, maybe selling the house I've got and getting a bigger, better one, buying a new car, you know.
You see that new car they're coming out with this year? I got to get me one of those.
Yeah, and so and all of that describes our attachment to this present world, and that's a great danger.
You know, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." It's very clear there that we can't have an attraction to these things of the world, yet our prosperity allows us to have so many of them, it's very easy for us to begin to love the world and want to stay here.
Yeah, you know, the great heroes of the faith in the Bible never had that attachment to this present world. In fact, you know, we refer to Hebrews 11 sometimes as faith's hall of fame. And in Hebrews 11, verse 13, there's a statement there made about some of those great heroes of faith during the Old Testament era. It says, Hebrews 11, 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." They did not see this world as their home. They saw themselves as strangers and pilgrims here, just passing through, so to speak. And that's the way we need to see our existence here. This life is not an end in itself, and if we begin to imagine that it is, then we're in trouble.
But we work so hard to make it comfortable, to make it someplace that we enjoy, and it's very easy for us to begin to love it because we are so rich and so blessed.
You know, I didn't really think when we decided to talk about this topic, I didn't think we'd have anybody probably contacting us in disagreement. You know, this is just really just too obvious. We are blessed. We are so prosperous. But what you might do if you're listening and want to join in the conversation, send us an email or give us a phone call about what you see as some of those dangers or ways to deal with some of the issues that we're talking about.
That's right. We've got to deal with them. How do you deal with
the problems and the challenges we faced as a result of our prosperity. 931-381-4567, or send us those questions to questions@collegeview.com. Looking forward to hearing from you tonight on the program. Maybe you've not thought about that. Maybe, you know, Dad, a lot of people don't think that they're rich. We've shown tonight that we are rich. We're all rich in America. So we got to look at what the Bible says and the challenges that we face.
You know, in some coverage in the news media, you may have heard, as I have heard, where they talk about the poverty level in America. People who are considered to be poor in America still have, most of them have a car, a telephone, a TV set, a microwave oven, you know. So even the people in our, we're so wealthy that even the people we consider poor in our country still have so many things that other people in the world don't enjoy.
You know, if someone is poor and they don't have an air conditioner, that's a crime in America. If you don't have an air conditioner, it's terrible. But most people in other countries don't even know what an air conditioner is. And so we have such wonderful blessings here in America. It really does just shift our perspective on things, and we don't realize how blessed we are.
The Bible, I think, so often discusses the notion of stewardship. And the idea of stewardship is that when you've been entrusted with something, then you have an accountability about it, a responsibility. And so if we've been blessed, as we have been, and we have the stewardship of the things that God has given us, then we're expected to use them to His honor and glory. But the problem is that these things of prosperity actually cause us to lose spiritual focus, Jacob.
That's right, because we're so distracted because of our physical blessings. We're distracted with all the things that we enjoy. We have no time to work for the Lord because we're too busy with enjoying the things He's blessed us with. We're too busy with our activities of recreation. We're too busy with our activities of our hobbies or our vacations. You know, we're just too busy taking care of our nice homes and our nice cars, you know. It takes a lot to keep up a big house. It takes a lot to keep our yard looking nice or our nice car running nice and nice and cleaned up. You know, all that stuff takes time away from time that we could be focusing on God, and it causes our focus to shift away from God and onto the physical things. Have the physical blessings that God has given you crowded Him out of your life? Have you become like the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, beginning of verse 15? And He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Here we see an example of a man whose possessions had pushed God out of his life. He was rich in his worldly possessions, but he was not rich toward God. He had no time for God. He was focusing all on his physical blessings and what he was going to do with them.
Yeah, we mentioned earlier that those two stories by Jesus, the rich man and Lazarus and this rich fool, surely indicate the danger that we're discussing. And Jesus saw it as being a problem back then. And more, it's more of a problem today than ever before. You know, another place where Jesus talked about this danger is in Matthew 13, in the parable of the sower and the seed. And some of those seeds that did not bring forth fruit, it says, he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So the deceitfulness of riches can keep us being fruitful to the Lord.
It shifts our perspective away from God and onto the physical things we enjoy in this world. We've got to be careful of that. We must be careful. We do not allow our priorities to shift away from God and onto our physical blessings. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning of verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, Dad. We have to be careful because we have a great treasure here. If that treasure is so big that it takes our focus off of God, then our heart will be here on earth and it won't be in heaven with God where it needs to be, and we will be condemned as a result. Jesus warns us that we cannot serve God in wealth. We've got to be careful that our possessions do not shift us away from God and serving Him and cause us to focus on things that are of a physical nature. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, notice this important instruction, Dad.
No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
What's mammon?
That's wealth.
Wealth, okay.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
We can't serve both. Yet a lot of people in America, most people in America, are serving their wealth. They're going after out there trying to obtain more and more riches, and they're trying to take care and keep the ones that they've got, and there is no focus on God. Looking forward to hearing your comments to this tonight. 931-381-4567, or email us your questions to questions@collegeview.com.
We got an email from Mike here in Columbia. Mike, glad you're listening tonight. He says, in regard to greed, Luke 12, verse 15, I think you just read that, didn't you, Jacob? Jesus said, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of possessions. That's the New American Standard Version. The King James Version says, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesses. Then in verses 16 through 21, Jesus told the people the parable of the rich man who was going to tear down his barns and build greater. God refers to him as a fool. That's the parable you just read, Jacob. Jesus says in verse 21 that we should be rich toward God, and we must remember that all blessings come from God. Those comments from Mike here in Columbia, Tennessee. Mike, I think you're exactly right, and appreciate your contribution to the program tonight.
But you think about all the things that we enjoy, Dad, and all the time that we spend enjoying them, all the nice things we've got that we have to spend time enjoying with them because we've worked so hard for them. There's little time for God in our schedule because we have so many of these physical possessions to take care of and to enjoy, that our focus is very easily shifted away from God because of our riches.
You know, you read that parable that Mike references there, the parable of the rich fool, and you think, well, why did he tear down his barns just to build a bigger one? Why didn't he leave that barn and build another? But, you know, we do that, don't we? You see people tearing down houses to build bigger ones on the same spot. I mean, that's how incredibly wealthy we are.
And that's how deceitful those riches are and how they can lead us astray if we're not careful. We're looking forward to hearing from you. 931-381-4567, or send us questions at collegeview.com. I think we've got another email there, Dad, that we need to take.
All right, we've got Bill listening in Peoria. Bill, really glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study tonight and glad we're getting out there in Peoria. He asked a question, and this may lead us to a part of this discussion that we've got to get into, because one of the challenges of prosperity, Jacob, I think, is a decreased compassion for the poor. And the Bible teaches us that we should be compassionate to the poor. Here's the situation from Bill's email. He says, a very practical situation, one I've struggled with and responded to somewhat differently almost every time I've experienced it in my short life. He says, I believe I am rich relative to the monetary earnings of most others in this world, but I'm considered to be just typical middle-class guy in this country. Now, if as I walk around outside on my lunch hour, a questionable person asked me for 65 cents for a bus ride, and I choose to say no to him, am I wrong? And then he says in parentheses, this happened to me today. He says, I absolutely have no undue feelings of attachment to my 65 cents. I actively seek to provide for brethren where the needs are evident. I often ask myself, what would Jesus do? And I realize that he would come up with some incredibly appropriate comment for the individual to consider and probably would not give him any money. I just hate saying no, but more often than not, that's what I do. I'm not as skilled at coming up with comments on the spot like that. What are your thoughts, Bill and Peoria? Bill, thanks for your email.
You know, I want to say thanks for your concern and your sincerity there in that matter. It's a difficult question.
It is a difficult question, and the thing of it is, we're walking a sort of on a tightrope. There's a line here, and we're trying to stay on the line. We know on the one hand that Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And so God doesn't want us helping people who are not willing to help themselves. A man who's capable of working and who won't work, those kind of people, God doesn't want us to help them. But there are plenty of legitimately poor people, and so how do we deal with that? And, you know, let us not become so attached to our possessions that we just have a hard heart and a closed mind toward the needs of the truly poor. That's one of the problems of prosperity. It's a real problem. But the Bible in many places says that we're to be compassionate individuals. For instance, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so as I have opportunity and as I have ability, then I have obligation to help those who are really in need. So there is this determination that has to be made, and Bill in his email has talked about, you know, how hard that is to make that proper determination. But when we find legitimately needy people and we make a judgment that there's true and honest need there, then the scriptures tell us that we're supposed to be compassionate toward them. But wealthy people sometimes lose touch with that compassion. Jacob?
That's right. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us your questions to questions@collegeu.com. What are some challenges you see that we face as a result of our prosperity? And more importantly, how do we deal with those challenges? We want to hear from you tonight. We want to hear your thoughts. 931-381-4567, or send us your questions to questions@collegeu.com. Looking forward to hearing from you on the program tonight. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
Hi, my name is Mike Smith, and I'm a member of the College of Church of Christ on Hampshire Pike. Let me ask you some questions. Do you remember when the churches insisted on Bible authority for everything they did? Can you recall when church members always expected a thus saith the Lord? Can you remember when the church was well known for its book, chapter, and verse style of teaching and preaching? Are you upset because the church you're attending doesn't always approach things this way anymore? Does it concern you that elders and preachers don't seem to care about Bible authority at all? We're still trying to do everything according to the New Testament pattern. If you're looking for a church like the one you remember from the past, please visit us soon at the College of Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hi, my name is Troy Smith. I'm 12 years old, and I love to listen to the Virtual Bible Study.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the Virtual Bible Study every week. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back into the program tonight. We're glad that you're here, and we hope you'll stay tuned to the top of the hour. We're talking about our possessions tonight. It is no doubt that we live in a very prosperous country, yet many in our world today do not believe or do not realize that we are rich Christians. You may not realize that as well, but as we began the program tonight, we showed that compared to the world statistics, we are all in America very rich, and as a result, we face many challenges to our spirituality. You know, Dad, just to illustrate the fact that we don't often consider ourselves to be rich, I presented this material at a congregation near here a while back, and there was a doctor in the audience, and after services, he came up to me and said that it was a good lesson, gave him something to think about. He said, but I don't often think of myself as a rich person. Now I need to. You know, yeah. And he's no different than anybody else. We're all rich, but we don't think about that.
Exactly right. You know, I'm really interested in the email that we just talked about from Bill in Peoria. You know, he talks about a challenge it's this thing I struggle with a lot, you know, and to some degree I'm in a position to be approached by these kind of people a little more often than others, perhaps, because as I'm working here in the office at the church building, a lot of times I'm approached by people who are looking for some assistance in one form or another. Get phone calls, a lot of personal appearances at the door, people knocking at the door and asking for different things. And so I'm faced with this challenge of trying to determine, is this a person who has legitimate need, or is it somebody that I should refuse? And if I should refuse them, how do I say that to them in such a way to, you know, help them understand, and instead of just seeming hard-hearted and cold, how do I help them understand that they need to adhere to the Word of God? It's a true challenge, and I don't have all the answers to that, but I'm certainly sympathetic to the question that Bill has posed.
Well, but it is a challenge as we become very prosperous. We are not exposed to those type of people on a daily basis sometimes. We're more removed from what it's like to be struggling and not have enough physically, and so it's more difficult for us to have compassion on those who are poor. You know, it appears that we have become like the rich man in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus that we've already referenced on the program tonight. But notice what it says about that rich man. Luke chapter 16, beginning of verse 19, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, more of the dogs came and licked his sores. You know, the rich man there in that parable, Dad, or that story, had everything that he needed. He had more than enough, yet he could not bring it upon himself to help out Lazarus, who was sitting at his gate. All Lazarus wanted was a few crumbs. The rich man is so disconnected from what it was like to be like Lazarus, he had no compassion on Lazarus, and that can happen to us as well.
And apparently Lazarus truly was a legitimately needy person. You know, he was rewarded as a righteous man after his death and received comfort in Abraham's bosom in paradise. And so, you know, here was a case where the rich man failed to help a legitimately needy person. We understand that in Bible times, there wasn't the sort of social safety net that exists in America today, and so, you know, there were a lot more legitimately needy people then than there are now, and a lot less ways for them to receive assistance. But it is a challenge, and we'll just leave it at that we should be compassionate toward the needy. Let me go to another email. This one's not signed, but I think if I recognize the email address, I think this is Matt here in Columbia who's writing. Matt, we're glad to hear from you. He says, I agree that we mustn't put our riches above God. We should not apologize to the country for being prosperous. Now that goes along the lines of what we were discussing earlier, and that is that it's not wrong to be wealthy, that it's not wrong to have wealth. The question is, how are we going to use it? So I think that comment's right on the mark. We don't have to apologize for our wealth. What we have to do is use it right. And then he goes on to say, if all the other countries that hadn't turned their backs to God and worshiped God's creation instead of the Creator, you know, we wouldn't be so much better off than them if they had not done so. I think there's some truth in that, although and he goes on here to talk about America. There are some whole societies of people who suffer because they do not adhere to the truth of God. I mean, you think about some of the places in the world where there's just some incredible suffering, and a lot of that suffering may be attributable, at least in part, to their rejection of the truth of God. I think that's a true statement, too. Now, he goes on to say what I think we have to say about America. He says, I think that we as Americans need to realize if we don't do something about our government trying to push God out of our lives, we will be in the same boat. Well, I just think that as a society of people, when we move away from serving God, then we can expect to suffer as a result of that. I think that's a true observation as well. He says, and then for us, worse yet, on Judgment Day, we'll not have the excuse that we didn't know, or that we didn't have our Bibles, or we didn't have internet programs like the Virtual Bible Study to help us to know the will of God. And that's true, too. So appreciate those comments.
Thank you for listening and your comments tonight. 931-381-4567, or send us those questions to questions@collegeview.com. Still plenty of time to hear from you on the program tonight. Looking forward to hearing your comments. Well, finally, Dad, I think it's important for us to notice that in spite of the fact that we are very blessed and extremely prosperous in our country tonight, this prosperity, ironically enough, can produce increased greed if we're not careful. You would think that with the abundance of things that we possess, when we have more than enough and we have in abundance, you would think that we would be content, but it is not the case. We just have to look around in our society to notice that there are numerous people who are not content with the number of blessings that we have.
You know, we even have a sort of an invented word to describe some of that. You ever heard of a workaholic? We've heard of alcoholics, you know, and that's obviously someone who's addicted to alcohol. Well, a workaholic is one who's addicted to work, and although he may have plenty, he can't stop working because he wants more.
That's right. You know, the average American household at one time, I think these are fairly current statistics, the average American household carries an average of $45,000 in debt. Why does the average household in the richest country in the world have $45,000 in debt? Why is that?
Because we want more stuff.
We want more stuff. Not that we don't have what we need and we've got to go into debt to get it. No, we want more stuff to enjoy, so we go into debt to get that stuff. And we can fall in this trap if we're not careful of not being content with what we have. Again, remember the parable of the rich fool. He had more than enough. His barns couldn't hold it all. But what did he do? He had to tear down those barns and build bigger because he wanted more.
You know, earlier in the program, we mentioned King Solomon, who was the richest man in the world of his day and one of the richest men who ever lived in the history of the world. We talked about the fact that, you know, we've got a lot of things that we enjoy that Solomon could never have even imagined or dreamed of. And yet Solomon, in all his wealth, made this observation in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. And so Solomon says, if you make that your goal, to have more and more, you're never going to be satisfied. There's no end to that.
You'll want this trap.
That's right.
That's right. And so we've got to be careful of that, but it is very tempting for us to be covetous and covet more and more. And that it becomes idolatry, Dad, and we've been told very clearly in the Bible that when we covet, that is equated with idolatry. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, for example, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
I think that's a real interesting thought. Covetousness can become as idolatry. You know, when we think of idolatry, we think of the Old Testament time periods when the pagan people would actually construct some kind of an image out of wood or stone or metal, and they would worship that. That became the thing which they worshiped. They didn't worship the true God. They worshiped an idol. You know, we might console ourselves by saying, I'd never be so foolish as to do that. There's no way that I'm going to bow down to something that's carved out of a piece of wood. I'm smarter than that. I got more sense than that. I would never do that.
We can bow down to something that's stamped out of metal.
Yeah.
That nice car that we want, right?
That's right. So covetousness for us, it becomes an idol. In other words, we worship money and the things that money can buy, and we worship that. In other words, that comes between us and God, or becomes more important to us than God. That becomes our God. Covetousness is idolatry.
We've got to be careful of that, because as a result of increased prosperity, the temptation is often for us to become greedy and want more and more, and we've got to be careful of that. 931-381-4567, or email us questions@collegeview.com. Looking forward to hearing from you tonight. Still plenty of time to go. You can get your calls or your questions over email. Looking forward to hearing from you. You know, prosperity prevents us from being content. Contentment is a quality we're told to have in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. We have to make sure that we're content, Dad, instead of being covetous and desiring more and more. Yet this world teaches us that we need to go for it. We need to get as much as we can. We can't be happy until we have the next greatest and latest thing.
Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conversation, that's King James language, let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be with content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we're supposed to be content. It's one of the things God expects of those who are his children. We've got to have contentment. Got an email from Mike here in Columbia, another Mike here in Columbia. Glad you're listening, Mike. From the Census Bureau website concerning poverty in America, he has these statistics. Overall, the typical American, defined as poor by the government, has a car, air conditioning, a refrigerator, stove, clothes washer and dryer, and a microwave. He has two color televisions, cable or satellite TV reception, a VCR or DVD player, and a stereo. He is able to obtain medical care, his home is in good repair, and is not overcrowded. Now, that's what we were talking about earlier. We consider these guys poor, these people poor, because we have so much that even people with all this, in comparison to those of us who have more, are considered poor. He goes on to say, in the book, The Millionaire Next Door, it is interesting to note that 80% of millionaires today are first-generation millionaires who buy used cars, don't go into debt, and only buy things on sale, usually at department stores. I would key in on the fact there, Jacob, 80% of millionaires today are first-generation millionaires. In other words, people are getting increasingly wealthy. There's a millionaire just 20 or 30 years ago, it was a unique thing to hear of a millionaire. Now it's becoming much more common. Still not totally commonplace, but it's much more commonplace to read about people who are millionaires. The email goes on from Mike. He says, you ask about solutions to these problems that we face with materialism. I think about the example of the saints in the last verses of Acts 4 and beginning of Acts 5. Acts 4, 34 and 35 said they sold their possessions, houses, and land, and gave the money to the church. But I think the important part is in verse 35, where it says they distributed to each one as he had need. These brethren realized that all their possessions belonged to God anyway, and I think this is a great lesson for us to learn. We have everything we have because God allows it. He says there's a big difference between a want and a need. I may want a new car, but what I need is to get a few more miles and years out of my older car. I may want bigger, newer, nicer house, but what I need is to be content with what I have. And I think exactly right.
That's right. You know, Dad, you talked about the fact that when we have these blessings, they come with increased responsibility. And quickly before we end the program, we need to understand that because we have been blessed so abundantly, we have an increased opportunity and therefore responsibility to use those blessings in God's service. We got to make sure that we're using the physical blessings that God has given us in his service so we can be pleasing to him.
One more email from here in Columbia before we end. I think this wraps it up real well. He says, when we think of riches, we need to think in spiritual terms, the riches that Christ has given to us. Ephesians 1, verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. God's grace, mercy, forgiveness, love, and kindness make us rich. And that's where we really need to strive to find our wealth, our true wealth, in the spiritual blessings that are in Christ that come to us from learning and obeying the commands of God, Jacob. So I think that's probably a good way to sum up our study tonight. Make sure that our true riches are in spiritual things and that our focus is there.
It's very easy, though, for us to shift that focus and to be focused on the material. We must make sure that we are not led away by the world and their priorities, but we remain focused on God and serving Him. We appreciate you listening to the program tonight. Dad, thanks for the study tonight. Enjoyed being with you tonight.
Glad to be with you, Jacob. Glad for all those who are listening on the internet to the virtual Bible study. Thanks to all of those of you who participated with your comments. And we'll look forward to doing this again next week, Lord willing. Mark Thursdays on your calendar and plan to be with us at this same time, 8 o'clock Central Time. And from Columbia, Tennessee, from the College View Church of Christ, we'll be sending out the virtual Bible study. We want you to join in.
Look forward to talking with you next week. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the virtual Bible study brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the virtual Bible study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.